The first time in human history, in the 5,000 years of recorded history, that it's happened. But one of the things that seems to be encouraging me, and there are quite a number of things that are encouraging, is that, to quote poor old Samuel Johnson, he said that about the unfortunate man about to be hanged. He said, if you know you're going to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates the mind wonderfully. And that, I think, is what's happening. Now, the next speaker is Arthur Shenfield, another old friend from Mont Pelerin. We both went to Venice together in 1954 and read papers. Now, Arthur says, don't bother to introduce me because you probably all know him, but he has been the economic director of the Confederation of British Industries in England when he either represented or helped to teach the whole of British industry. I don't know quite which way it was around, but he wasn't very happy with that. Then he moved into the Industrial Policy Group, where he had only 20 tycoons to teach, and I don't think he was very happy with that either. Now he's wandering the world, and he's one of the most erudite speakers and writers on the subject of sound economics and private enterprise. And so I have great pleasure in introducing Arthur Shenfield.
The question is, will capitalism survive? And my answer is, yes, it's a good bet that it will. Coming from Britain, I ought to be hopelessly pessimistic. And yet I'm not. My reasons are two. First, that the affairs of men are determined by ideas. Everybody's familiar with that. The famous passage in Keynes about madmen in authority distilling their frenzy from the air, being the slaves of some defunct economist and all that. But we didn't need Keynes to tell us that. Every wise observer of the affairs of men has always known that they are determined by ideas, not by interests. Interests only come into play to the extent that people act according to what they think their interests are. And what they think their interests are determined by their ideas. I expect that you'll agree with me on this point, that it's ideas that determine what happens. My second reason is that I believe we are winning. That is to say, at the fundamental levels, at the level where fundamental ideas are formed, generated, or regenerated. Of course, at the level of the politician, the level of the prime minister or president, cabinet minister, at the level of the journalist, the level of the TV pundit, at the level of the man in the street, we're still losing, and losing very badly. But those levels are not the fundamental ones. Now, it seems to me that you might level five apparently cogent objections to my optimism about the survival of capitalism. One, we're not winning, you might say. Two, even if we are winning at the levels I'm talking about, we'll never get through to the journalist, the television pundit, let's say the intellectual, and therefore the man in the street, for the Schumpeterian reasons that Warren Nutter referred to. Three, if Schumpeter isn't right, or at any rate only partially right, it's necessary, if one has to have any degree of optimism, to be able to show how our ideas, having won at the fundamental levels, will ever get through to the superficial levels. And if one can't show that, one has no right to display this optimism. Four, supposing we do win the battle at the fundamental levels and we do then get through to the man in the street and the politician, etc., it must take time. These things always take time. From 1776 to 1846 in Britain was 70 years. From the days when the Fabian Society was formed to the present day, when their fully baleful effects are still not reached, is a matter of 90 years. So it takes time. Suppose that the totalitarians in our midst, aided by the crackpots, take over our society before we've had enough time for our ideological victory to have the effect that's necessary. And then we're sunk. We don't have the time, and the totalitarians take over, then, of course, capitalism can't survive. Fifthly, suppose that the totalitarians within are in our midst, and the crackpots in our midst, do not take over before we have the time to regenerate society. Suppose it be that the totalitarians outside Western society take over by military conquest and institute a new dark age. If that is the case, then our victory in the academy in the West will have proved to be abortive. Let's consider those. First, that we are not winning. I say we are. I say that every form of collectivist ideology in the West is now on the defensive. Where is the elan behind Keynesianism? It's gone. Where is the elan behind ideas of economic planning? Disappeared. Where is the elan, at the level I'm talking about, behind proposals for wage and price control? Where is the elan now at that level for the regulation of the economy, the regulation of industry? Where is the elan for the principles of the welfare state? All on the defensive. And although I cannot say that we are carrying the ball either with tremendous elan, I believe we have more now than our opponents. Of course, I'm only saying that if I understand American football gridiron, which I don't, but I'm guessing. I'm only saying that we have advanced, say, from our 10-yard line to our 20-yard line, and we've got a long way to go yet. But we, I believe, are moving forward at that level, and our opponents are moving backward. Well, this is a matter of assessment of a situation with which you may not agree, but I think it's not an unreasonable assessment. And I see that even in England, much more here. Secondly, suppose that is true, you may concede it, but we can't clinch the victory because we've got to get through to the man in the street, the intellectual, that is to say the quasi-intellectual, the television pundit, and so on. We can't do that for Schumpeterian reasons. Now, far be it from me to deny the high degree of cogency of Schumpeter's pessimistic analysis. I entirely agree that there is a very great amount of truth in it. But I don't believe it's the whole of the truth. The fact is that not merely do the best laid plans of mice and men gang aglay, but the best laid plans of totalitarians gang aglay. The best laid plans of all kinds of people gang aglay. And so perverse are human circumstances that it often happens that movements going east leave opportunities for forces to push them west, even though, in fact, there is no intention for that to happen. And that's why there is an opportunity for things to succeed that apparently cannot. And one can see that in all kinds of instances. Take, for example, the liberation of international trade. Not complete, nowhere near complete, but nevertheless, the large measure of liberation of international trade in the last 40 years. In a world which has become more and more socialistic, more and more statist everywhere, how could one logically have expected the liberation, to the extent it's happened, of international trade, GATT, the American trade agreements programs, etc., etc., in a world that was doing that? In fact, if one thinks of the date 1934, the date when there was Roosevelt actually elaborating his NRA and his NIRA, and at that very same time inducing Congress to take the first millimeter step towards the liberation of international trade. It doesn't really make sense, but it doesn't make sense because that's the perversity of human affairs. And that's why, although Schumpeter clearly puts his finger on powerful forces generated by capitalism for its own destruction, those are not the only results that capitalism produces, and therefore there are opportunities for reverse effects to take place. Thirdly, suppose I said you might object, all right, suppose that is possible. How will that happen? Supposing we do conquer the academy at its most sophisticated levels. And I believe that's possible. And I think slowly, as I say, from the 10-yard line, if that's a correct picture, we're doing it very slowly. Supposing we do, it's necessary to show how will it get through to John Q. Citizen and the politicians and the others. One has to explain that, and if one cannot, then optimism is idle. I can't explain it. All I know is that it's always happened. Somehow or other, ideas do get through. Fundamental ideas do get through. I know very well that it must be extremely difficult to forecast how it would happen in a democratic society, which really isn't democratic. The typical democratic majoritarian society is a society which is ruled by special minority interests, in which the majority is constantly bought or persuaded or cajoled into doing what a succession of competing minority interests wish to happen. And that makes it very difficult indeed for the principles of capitalism, the principles of freedom, to succeed, because above all, they stand against this manipulation of the power and wealth of society in the interests of a succession of different groups. And one can see, of course, if one takes the simple example of the tariff, how difficult it is for the general interest, which the ideas of capitalism support and promote, to prevail over the special interests of particular groups all round. So it's difficult to show how the general interest could be made to prevail once, suppose it happens, the best part of the academy has been conquered by capitalist, liberal, truly liberal, free enterprise, free society ideas. I don't know. I think one can speculate upon some ways in which it can happen. But I don't think it's an essential part of the case for optimism or qualified optimism to have to show it. Somehow ideas do get through. And the power of ideas, if it be the case that we win, that power of ideas will take some turning back by all the various special interests that, of course, will find those ideas inimical to them. And again, if I may mention, not so important, but nevertheless quite an important case, the special interests, after all, have been unable to prevent the qualified liberation of trade in the last 40 years. They haven't been able to destroy GATT. They didn't prevent GATT from being established. GATT's not a marvelous thing, of course, but maybe a poor thing, but it's our own, and it's not doing so terribly badly. And it's some evidence. Fourthly, what about the time factor? What about the totalitarians in our midst taking over our society before we have time? I don't think that's likely. As I see it, the totalitarians and the crackpots in our midst will not produce a totalitarian society in the West. They will produce confusion, chaos, disorder, pervasive dissatisfaction, discontent, lack of pride, lack of self-confidence, all these things. But I believe that the more likely reaction will not be, the more likely result of that will not be a totalitarian system, but possibly an authoritarian system. And an authoritarian system, one can see it, say, in the case of Brazil, is not poisonous to capitalism. It doesn't produce the best kind of capitalism, it's true, and it qualifies the capitalism, but it preserves enough capitalism, it even promotes some capitalism, pending the day when perhaps the people return from an authoritarian system to a genuinely liberal system. And I believe that the West itself has powerful forces of self-defense against the totalitarians and the crackpots as far as going all the way to totalitarianism is concerned. Though I don't think with great confidence that the West has powerfully enough defenses to preserve liberal democracy. That may not be. And it may be that our defense will have to be authoritarianism of some kind. But finally, what about the external threat from the totalitarians? if the communist world masters by military means or by tremendously successful subversion, internal subversion, if it conquers the West, takes us over, then of course there would be a totalitarian society in the West, and that would be the end of capitalism for some time. But I think that's hardly a 50-50 bet. After all, I started by saying that I thought it was a good bet that capitalism would survive, and I would put the likelihood of the military conquest of the West by the totalitarian powers at something less than a 50% chance, at least in the foreseeable future. But that's a matter of guesswork, and I would bow to the authority of, say, Warren Nutter, who knows all about defense and knows all about the power of those that I'm talking about. But I'm inclined to think that my guess is not an unreasonable one. But even there, though it may be then that the answer to the question, will capitalism survive, would have to be no, it would still have to be qualified with a further statement that it would be reborn, so that although survival in its first stage would not arise, revival could happen. Totalitarians make mistakes, of course. Their plans Aftgänger play. They get tired. They allow holes in their system to develop. They begin to tire of murder and torture and all the things that power produces. They begin to move from the enjoyment of power only to the enjoyment of the fleshpots as well, and they get weak, and they quarrel with each other, and new ideas come up, and their systems break down too. And out of that, it's entirely possible, indeed I would say likely, that something like capitalism would arise. But I agree that would mean revival and not survival. For all these reasons, I say that it's a good bet.